Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today's episode is going to show you an entirely different side of real estate, frankly, from the other side of the world. I'm so excited to introduce you to my friend Rachel Goldsworthy from Australia. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. How are you, Lee Brown?
It is always good to hear your voice, and thank you so much for being willing to be on the podcast. If I'm not mistaken, you're our first Australian guest, so we'll have to make sure that all of our other friends over there are completely jealous of you being the first person down under to appear.
I am super excited, and it's my pleasure to be with you today. Thank you.
So tell our listeners a little bit about you so they'll know what vantage point you're coming from, how long you've been in real estate, and where exactly you're located on the continent.
Yeah, sure. I've been in real estate for a little while now. I bought my first property back in the late 90s, showing my age a bit there, but I got bitten by the real estate bug back then and just love it. I've got an agency in the Hawkesbury, which is by the Hawkesbury River, which I absolutely love, and I've got a brokerage there. I think you call it a brokerage, do you, in the States? We call it an agency.
We do call it a brokerage, but if you call it an agency, people will think you're going to either get them on TV or they'll be a model. So we have to stick with brokerage.
That's definitely not happening over here. We're certainly grassroots, a real estate agency, but more sort of just service orientated. So yeah, definitely got a team of six, and it's been a fun journey with everybody, and love what each day brings us.
So you said that buying your first property is what got you interested in a career in real estate. Is that correct?
Yeah, isn't that funny? I guess back in the 90s, as I say, that's what got me started in real estate. I did what everybody did back then and started looking at properties in the newspaper because there wasn't the internet as such, and going back in time.
The things young people will have zero reference for now or in the future. Holy smokes. We also found dates that way. Do you remember dating through the back of the newspaper?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you actually had to pick up a phone to talk to anybody to be able to make an appointment or time. So, yeah, it's all everything has changed. Everything is an instant world now, I think. But certainly back then I rang up the real estate agent. I made the appointment. And you know what it's like when you want your first home and you're so excited and you just want to get out there and look at everything. And you think, I'm going to have a look at 10, 20, 30 houses and see what sort of speaks to me. And I made the appointment, went out on this Saturday, and it was down into a suburb called Kings Langley, of those that may or may not know. It's sort of in the western suburbs of Sydney. We went there, and I had my grandfather, my grandmother, my mum and dad and family, and dragged everybody along, you know, super excited, first property, never seen any other property for that matter. And I just fell in love. I did everything that you're supposed to not do when you're buying a house. I walked through, and it must have been the stinkiest, smelliest, horrible house that you've ever seen. The walls were black. We had rats sort of running around, or what appeared to be rats running around that they had as pets, the people. It was a divorce.
What?
Yeah, it was just
like,
awful.
Wait, loose in the house or in cages?
Yeah, like vermin and cages, and it was just awful. And as I say, the walls were black. And, you know, when you turn the light on, you've got a nice little stainless steel or a white button to press. Well, no, we had painted black. Everything was black. So it was a really dark place, and all the curtains were drawn. You could hardly see. They had bones. I'm talking literally dog bones propping up front doors to keep them open, if, you know, to try and keep a little bit of the stench out, possibly. I'm not too sure from the feces of the animal, because there was certainly some of that around as well. But I'm walking through. My grandfather's got a handkerchief over his mouth going, oh gosh, I'm not too sure whether this is actually the right house for us. And but we'll keep wandering through, and we'll have a good look, as you know, all people, all family do, and they just want to make sure that you're making the right decision. And I just fell in love, and I said, this is it. I'll paint this wall here. I'll put the carpet here. I'll do this. I'll pull this kitchen out. I'll do this bathroom. And my family looking at me going, you're absolutely crazy. what are you doing? But at the end of the day, it was probably the worst house in the best street. I just thought, I see opportunity there. And it's the same thing with what I do now. I see opportunity. But with that house, I actually went away for work. After I'd renovated and done everything that I did with the property, I moved to Queensland, which is another state in Australia, and went away for about 2 years. And I thought, I'll do what everybody does. I'll list with one of the biggest agencies because that's what you should do. And at that time, I wasn't in real estate. So I entrusted with a large franchise and went away for the 2 years and came back. And on the outgoing inspection, which is when you want to sort of come back into the property and just check that everything's okay, the neighbours before I got there were ringing me saying, Rachel, the tenants that agent's got in the house are hosing out your house. I said, what? They're hosing out my house. And I'm talking, we've got white carpet down inside the house. I said, gee, that doesn't sound promising. And I got there and, you know, the grass, there was no longer, the tropical gardens were no longer, the pool looked like a bit of a swamp and you could drive a car pretty successfully and park it on the top of it because of all the stuff that was in there. And I thought, wow, this is so disappointing. I almost had a tear in my eye, Lee, you know, and I'm sure there's other people out there that have got stories similar to that, that they come back to a house and they think it's going to be all right, entrust with a real estate agent that's a big brand and you think, yeah, it's all going to be good. And then you get left with this big meek mess. So I just sort of thought at that point, there's got to be a better way. And that's one of the reasons why I started my own agency, because you sort of saw the things, the differences and the gaps that needed to be filled. You know, you just head towards that. You know the pain that people feel when they've got an investment property or, you know, and it doesn't finish there. I mean, the next stage was, well, what am I going to do? I've got this house that is an absolute dump now that used to be my pride and joy, and I really just don't know where to turn. So I thought, okay, well, you know what? Sometimes things happen in real estate. And I'm going to give this real estate agency another go. Let's let them try and sell the property for me.
You're a very forgiving person.
Well, yeah, it was $10,000 worth of damage and I was only able to claim $5,000 from insurance. So, yeah, it was probably a forgiving moment in my life there. But certainly I think everybody does deserve that second chance. So I went with them and, you know, it wasn't that great. I should have learnt the first time. But anyway, I thought, well, in Australia, it's a little bit different to the States and you might be able to tell me in this regard. But with what we do is we list with one agency because we feel as though that's the strongest campaign that you can take the property to market, sell it for the highest possible price in the shortest time. So I did what you shouldn't do because I had no idea and thought, well, this agent's not doing what I can see what needs to be done. Nothing's happening. I've got no inspections going through the property. It's not moving. I need to get another agent. So if I get two agents, they'll work really hard for me and we'll try and get this thing sold. And of course, in my world, that seemed like a plausible idea, but in real estate terms in Australia, it probably wasn't the greatest idea. So anyway, I listed with these two agents and I still had no love. I didn't get any buyers through. I didn't get any inspections. I didn't get any offers. And I was just sort of sitting there thinking, there really has to be an easier way, something that, you know, you market the property beautifully, that somebody wants to fall in love with it, that they can identify with the things that you fell in love with when, you know, other people would fall in love with when they move into the property and want to move to the area. What's good about the area? What's going to make that person really come to the inspection, fall in love and want to buy it for a maximum price? So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put an ad in the paper. I'm going to give this a go. That's exactly what I did. Wasn't an agent at that time, as I mentioned. And that weekend, I had two buyers through. Those two buyers, it was like a two-horse race. It's exciting when you get two people that want the same thing, you know, when you create that buzz around it. And we ended up selling it for 75% more than what I purchased the property for.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a good result. But at that point in time, it was sort of an epiphany. And that's it. I want to be in real estate. And I think I can do this and I think I can do it a little bit better and make the experience a little bit better for the consumer. So that's been my, you know, life's journey with what I do here. And, you know, we're still always learning and always looking at different things and always doing training with people like yourself. That it's always so great to have that mentoring available. But, yeah, it's been a fun journey.
So I'm curious, those two agents that represented your house unsuccessfully while you, the homeowner, went out and got the job done, are they still in real estate or have they vanished?
one of them isn't and one of them is. So, yeah, it's pretty much, and the other one doesn't do very well from what I understand. So,
I mean, not to gloat or judge, but I mean, I know how I am. I will totally go look another agent up when they don't behave well just to see how things are going, because that's how I'm wired. So I was just curious.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was a frustrating process, but one that I think the Chinese, in their word crisis, there is two things, opportunity and danger in the same word. So, you know, look for the opportunities and you'll find what you can move forward with people. And I think that was an opportunity for me to get into the industry and do what I can do. So.
It is interesting, in talking to a lot of female broker owners across the world, when you find out why they started their own firm, a lot of them, it's to put it in a one sentence phrase as well, if I want it done right, I figured I have to do it myself, which actually sounds a lot like your story of you spotted a customer service gap and figured you could do it better. So you just do it yourself and not keep hunting for other agents. So has that approach led over into your marketing to potential clients where you live now, and has that helped grow your business that you continue to spot gaps?
Absolutely, because I think there's a lot of pain points for consumers out there and even real estate agents, because all the time I think if you shut off learning, there's no growth. So you've got to be open to that and you've got to be able to move forward and keep networking with people that know more than what you do so that you can do that. But equally, as I say, there are the gaps in the market, and as you identified, it's good to work your business in and around that, because that's what people are looking for. They're looking for the solutions. They're looking for that person that can understand their needs, can understand what they're going through and solve that problem.
Okay, so I have to go back to this poor little house and to when you bought it and somebody had painted it black and was using bones as doorstops and had rats running loose. I mean, there's just so many things wrong with this picture. I'm fascinated by the fact that you fell in love anyway, which is bizarre. As you know from now being in the business for a while, most people don't have the ability to visualize what could be. They only can see what is there. And in fact, the statistic that I read said that it's estimated that 15%, so 15% of the adult population has the ability to visualize. So I guess my question to you is, you obviously are one of those 15%, because there's no way that I would have gone in that house any further, no matter who was with me. Granddaddy would have had to go on his own. So how do you take your ability and convey that to buyers who go into equally awful properties? Because there doesn't matter what the market conditions are. We all see awful houses. How do you help them see past it when they don't have granddaddy there?
It's a really good point, Lee. But I think in that regard, it's all about taking the emotion out of a situation and working out what the facts are. My mum and dad have always taught me, you know, write your list of pros and cons and what's positive, what's negative about something, and can you move forward with that? And, you know, everything in life, I look at it from that perspective. And not that everything's black and white, because I understand there is a lot of grey area. But say, for example, with this particular house, what I knew from the research that, or the little research that I'd done when I was looking for the house, was that if you buy a house near people, you'll make money. If you buy a house that near a shopping center, people will want to live there. If you buy a house near up and coming infrastructure, which the M2 was about to be built, you'll make money. A lot of people said to me, oh, you're crazy. Why are you going to buy next to a big freeway? There's no way. I wouldn't be buying that. And I'm thinking, no, that's going to make me money. I'm going to buy that. So that were the sort of, I guess, the precursor things. Also good schools, good amenities. Are there doctors? Are there hospitals? All of those sorts of things. Can people get around easily enough? Is there transport? Is there buses, trains? You know, those sorts of things are all really important to people. So once I identified those things, I then went to, okay, let's have a look at the house. We had a look at the house and went through and went, yeah, it's got the right size bedrooms. It doesn't have built-ins, but the bedrooms are big enough that I can build the built-ins. I can put fans in or air conditioning in. That's not a problem. I can rip up this horrible carpet that's got rats running around on it and just polish the floorboards and it'll come up a treat. I can paint the walls. And for very little money, I could make massive improvements to a property that otherwise everybody would be walking past it because they're looking at it going, wow, this is just way too much work. So you break it down from that perspective and you walk somebody through a house and you talk about the positives of the area, what the growth is in the area, and come back to things like you've been alluding to as stats in the area and what's happening for people and also on the ground, then people can see the bigger picture. And if you can say, okay, well, if you added this, this and this, or did the paint here, polish those floorboards, that would add X amount of value to the property, and then you would increase your equity in the property, and then they go, oh, that's not such a bad thing. Whereas if you're sort of looking at black walls and rats and other things, it's not very attractive at all. I get it. You know, it's a lot of houses that I've seen over the years, you know, other people live differently than we all do, and that's absolutely okay. But it's a matter of working out what somebody can do with a property. And that's where I'm happy to help people see through where they're not seeing, if that's what they want, or just to be there with them at the inspection and work out whether it's a property for them. Because, you know, you can't, I've never been the type of person to sell something to somebody that I don't think is going to work for them, or sell them something that I can't see the vision with them on that. So I think it's really important that we all get that right and make sure that people are buying for the right reasons for their family or for themselves or whatever their circumstances are, and just understanding that circumstance and just helping them as best we can and just listening in the first instance rather than trying to talk and try and solve before we know what they want.
Okay, so considering where you started, where you are now, owning a brokerage, doing real estate with buyers and sellers, what would you say is the biggest surprise that you've had since you came into this full time?
I think the biggest surprise, certainly people. I think the more you invest in others and help others, the more they are willing to help you. And when I first started, I guess I thought, okay, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And instead of leveraging with other people or doing joint ventures with other people and thinking we can do this together, I was thinking I have to do this by myself. But once you put your hand up and say, I don't know how to do this, or would it be okay if we work together, or this is not my area, do you mind if we sort of, I'll help you out with whatever you're needing help with and you can help me out with that. They all come together, and even now I do a podcast with the local community, and I'm reaching out to people just to platform local businesses and local people in the area. I had the mayor on the other day. We had local gymnasts that have just won the championships, the national championships, gold medals down in Melbourne. Yeah, so really exciting stuff, but just reaching out to people and understanding where they're coming from. And then once you understand where they're coming from, they will share so much with you and you learn so much from them. And it's just a nice journey to go on with people.
Love that. See, that's a lesson everybody should learn, frankly, even if they're not in real estate, that you don't have to be the cowboy all the time, because people do want to help you. Then you help them and it works out. Yay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you've been a big help to me over the years, Lee. And I love all the books that you've put out, and Outrageous Authenticity and the latest one, The Seven Deadly Sins. I'm looking forward to receiving that. And the fact that they're only 45-minute reads, I just, it makes my life a lot easier.
That's what happens when you know your audience.
Exactly.
There's a reason readers don't read.
Yes.
Well, is there anything else you think the world should know about you and your life in real estate before we wrap up this episode? Besides the fact that they should go buy some brain bleach to not think about rats in a house.
Yeah, sorry for those people listening that don't like the rats. But no, I think real estate's a really good industry to get involved with, and certainly reach out to people like Lee Brown and people that are experienced in what they're doing and happy to help you. And I think you'll go a long way.
Oh, see? Okay, Rachel, if anybody's listening to this and they said, you know what, it's time for me to do something with real estate and Rachel's the one I want to call. And I'm pretty sure that if somebody anywhere else in the world is listening and they need somebody in Australia, you've got the contacts. How can they find you?
I would love to help anybody that wants assistance. You can reach out to me on the website, rachelgoldsworthy.com.au, or I'm on all of the social media outlets, whether it's Instagram or all the other ones, you know, Pinterest and blah, blah, blah.
And because we know how our listeners are, and blah, blah, blah is exactly what you think when you hear contact information, don't stress out, because all of Rachel's contact information will be in the show notes for this episode. So you can reach out to her with any questions you have about real estate in her area or, frankly, anywhere in Australia. She will help find you a professional just like herself. Rachel, thank you so much for getting up early Australia time to be on the show. It's such a pleasure to hear your voice and to hear your story about how you wound up in this crazy business.
No, thank you very much, Lee. It's been my pleasure, and I love being online with you.
All right, guys, now that you've listened, you're going to go follow Rachel. You need to subscribe for more episodes. And if you have your own story about crazy life in real estate that you'd like to share, give me a shout at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the networks be featured in a future episode. And until then, we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.